Blog Talk Radio.
A new
direction, for I'll restore years, and I'll restore health, and I'll restore joy, for this is a day of great restoration, and I'll restore the gifts of the Spirit, and they shall increase, and they shall multiply, for times of refreshing shall come from my presence, saith the Lord, and it shall fall like rain. So now I hear the sound of an abundance of rain, that it shall rain, it shall rain, and I will pour out my Spirit, saith the Lord. So receive it and declare it and say it's not so far away, but it's here right now, today. Ha, ha, ha. Come on, give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a shout.
Habrá alguien que pueda adorar a Dios en esta noche, aunque aún no puede ver su milagro. Is there somebody in this house that can worship God in anticipation for what He is about to do? Habrá alguien en esta casa que sabe que su Dios está obrando en el silencio. That you know that your God is operating in the silence. There where nobody can see you. There where nobody believes in you. Allí es donde Dios está obrando. Levanta tus manos en este lugar. Levanta tus manos en fe en este lugar. Porque no andamos por vista. Andamos por fe. ¿Por qué no cantas conmigo en esta hora? Aunque no pueda verte sobrando, aunque no pueda verte sobrando, siempre estás sobrando, siempre estás. Déjame oír tu voz. Aunque no pueda verte sobrando, aunque no pueda verte sobrando, siempre estás. Vamos. Aunque no pueda ver sobrando, lo declaramos. Siempre estás sobrando. Aunque no pueda ver sobrando, aunque no pueda ver sobrando, siempre estás sobrando.
Amen, amen. He is that. He is the one. He is the way maker, the promise keeper. He is the light of the world, praise God. He is the Savior, hallelujah. Praise His name forever. He is everything. He's the Son of God, and all that He did, the will and purpose of our Father to bring salvation and life to us that we celebrate. And praise God. It doesn't matter what men say. I don't care how rank they have or whoever they are. There was a victory at the cross for us, praise God, for all that were in captivity to the fallen one and to the nature of our sin. It was a victory. It was not a failure, like some man said, but a great victory, praise his name, forever. Hallelujah. As he poured out his life and blood so that we could live. But he brought redemption and salvation and life. He brought forgiveness. Jesus alone. Praise his name forever. He's the only answer. He's the only way. And brothers and sisters, he's coming. I just sense in my spirit. I don't know about you, but what he has been revealing from the word of God in the things lining up for what's going to happen to Israel in the time and the way they have to happen by his word, that it's happening. It's amazing about him being the fulfillment of the Jubilee, that he, the fulfillment of the Shemitah year, all that God's revealing. And God is the God of order and perfection. And it's all showing. It's got to happen soon. Praise his name. It's exciting. The Lord's coming. All that he's showing, his presence has been on me all afternoon. It's just been such overwhelming, and the Lord will be moving. And it'll be a special blessing to each one of you tonight who seek the Lord for you and your family and friends. The anointing will flow, and the Lord and all that he did and he made happen at the cross can happen in their lives. Hallelujah. That they can be saved. That they can be set free, that they can be delivered and healed, praise God. Even ones that you know that's taken the snake bite, the Lord is greater. He's able to protect them and heal them from whatever the enemy tries to bring against them. As all that's being revealed about the enemy, they even have a thing called the venom tech. What is that called? And then everything else that they're saying that is in the snake bite is to kill, steal, and destroy all of God's children but God. He's greater. Call upon the name of the Lord, and he's able to protect you and watch over you. He's able to heal you and deliver you. He is to make you into a new creation. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Glory to his name. Such a presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. And we give him glory and praise for who he is and all that he has done for us. That you will see tonight in this message the Lord has given me and understand it was prophetically spoken and he fulfilled it because that's who he is. He keeps his words and his promises. It's very important to understand that it is all about Jesus and Jesus alone. All glory and honor to him. When you're witnessing or doing anything, don't ask the people what religion or denomination or whatever they are. Ask them if they know Jesus. Do you know the Savior? Because he's the only way, the truth, and the life that we need to understand is about Christ and not about labels of men, but of Christ and who makes us who we are. That we make sure they know Jesus, not about him, not a point of view of man, but they know Jesus. And share and say, "They, you need to know the Savior. You don't need to know him personally." And ask the Holy Spirit to reveal him to whoever you're speaking to, whatever God makes a way. The other thing you can tell people, we're in the end time. All this is coming to pass because the Word of God said it is. And praise God that the Holy Spirit and the restrainer is still restraining and keeping the evil from what they really want to do. But the Lord is greater. He's in total control, you know, that we are the one, through the Holy Spirit, are holding back what they really want to do. I'm sure they're very frustrated. And they can't do more than what God allows. Praise his name forever. But I can tell you clearly, that when the Lord takes us, the church and bride and restrainers removed, this world has not seen anything yet compared to what's coming. You get a glimpse of it when you study in the book of Jeremiah, Lamentations, and things like that when they would turn away from the Lord. But this is going to be worldwide. And God's going to get some people's attention. But they need to understand, they need to come to Christ now. Now is the time of grace. Now is the time to have faith alone and be born again. After that, it'll be the gospel of the kingdom. It'll be a place where you all have to endure to the end and not reject Christ and receive the enemy. But you don't want to go there. You want to be now. You want to be part of the ones that are going home with Jesus. Born again believers in Jesus as we have been told. Hallelujah. But there's been so many different confirmed about the different things about the years and what the Lord said, and from Daniel to everything is coming together, and it's God's perfect way and time. And brothers and sisters, I don't believe we have much time left. Who knows? The Lord could come tonight. Wouldn't it be amazing he came on the day that he rose from the dead? That would be Resurrection Sunday. Oh, hallelujah. But it's exciting. I know, and if anything, the other thing the Lord has been showing me is that our life's in his hand. To live as Christ, and for us believers, to die is gain. In God's perfect way and time. I mean, you don't want to take your life or anything to be with the Lord, because that's not our attitude. I mean, that's not our character or nature. We want to be here to serve the Lord and be excited and try to bring, good news to people. And there's so much bad news and sadness and people trying to promote fear. And we're seeing God does not give fear. He gives love to comfort you, to strengthen you, and to be with you in whatever situation you're going through. That's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be what Jesus said. Be light. Share the good news. Tell the people they need me and that there's life everlasting. But from me, apart from me, it's nothing but death and destruction. Oh, yeah, we have free will. But we better do what God says. It gives us godly sense because there's only two choices. Either it's the way of the fallen one and the fallen angels and what they'll face, damnation and hell forever, or you come to the Savior. And you have to come to him, only him, born again by his Spirit. That's the way for salvation and life, the life that God gives eternal. Well, anyway, praise God. I've there's so much. Amen, sis. That's right. Praise God. As y'all confirm what the Lord said, the other one is that love is greater than all our fear. And the fear is love overcomes fear. I think it's 1 John and 4. And it's talking about what is the fear. The fear is what they fear in the future. What they fear is death. And what they fear is after death, because what they have to know, God created them. And the only thing that can change their life and fulfill them is be filled with him. Because without him, you do fear. You do fear death, and you do fear what's after death, which is God's judgment for everybody that has not believed and trusted in him and received his love. So that's why you wonder about a lot of people in that way. Believers, we should not be in that place, because the Holy Spirit reveals the truth to us. And another thing the Lord showed me very clear by people who trusted the government, people who trust the medical people, people that trust man more than God. Remember, they're not all believers. Many of them have the nature of the fallen one. So they're going to bring what he wants you to hear. But it's a lie. What they say, it does one thing, but it does another. And the Lord said, my people, not just Israel, but my created children, all die because of a lack of knowledge of me. That God expects with the godly sense he gave us to search and find him. Seek out his word and know the truth so you would be able to make good decisions. But even in that, none of us are perfect. And if we make mistakes, he is greater than anything the enemy brings at us. And we can trust him. Hallelujah. By his shed blood, hallelujah, and his power of healing, that he can protect you if anybody you know taken a snake bite. I believe most of us have not. Because you read about it and what they're revealing, what God's revealing shows exactly what this thing's like. And if you there's a the email I have from Brighton. I don't know if y'all know about Brighton at Rumble, but he's not even at YouTube anymore, I don't think. But he had a thing, and there is a company called Venom Tech. And you ought to hear these people. And I think they're evil and wicked, but it's their nature. We should not be surprised. We really shouldn't, and even the way they act and how they treat people, and because without God, without Christ, you act like a monster. You act like a beast. We have to understand that, know that. And the only one that can change people is Christ. What he's called us to do is bring them to Christ, share the word, and they have to make the decision and cry out to Jesus. Well, hallelujah. I hope y'all have had a good week. We've had a pretty good week here. The Lord protected us again. We watched storms be moved away again. Praise God. The Lord is good. He will watch over and protect us. That everything that we face, remember, you have the name of Jesus and authority of his name and who he is over anything that the enemy tries to throw at you or the world, that God will watch over and protect you because he loves you, that he'll provide for you. Because he loves you, and that we just have to humble ourselves and believe and let our faith arise over everything that you see or hear, that God is greater. And the answers is in the word, like y'all been sharing here. As they promoted fear, what should we done as believers? What does the word say? 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind, or power, love, and sound mind. That's the truth. And we've got to get a hold of it. And know that just stops fear in its tracks. God's love is greater than what the enemy promotes. Fear. But the Lord brings love. And in that love is salvation, is peace, is hope, is joy, eternal life. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. We come together to celebrate and worship the Lord and focus on him and celebrate his great love poured out at the cross of Calvary. Great victory. Great victory over sin, our sin, and the power of sin, and over the evil one of his nature, and that we are saved from the sin and sin nature we had, and set free from him. And then we're connected and we're in relationship with the true living God and our loving Father through his glorious Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He makes us who we are and even makes us to become more like him every day. And then that final day, that glorious day is coming, hallelujah. The day of redemption, when we will be resurrected and glorified and say goodbye to this old world and goodbye to sin and everything else and go into what God has prepared for us that's beyond anything we can think or dream. It's life, brothers and sisters, eternal life, the kind of life that God has for each one of us he loves. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. Let's get started tonight. We have much to share from God's mighty word. Father, we thank you and praise you for this night. I thank you for my brothers and sisters in Christ that we come together rejoice. We're very grateful that you have raised us all up for such a time as this. I pray that we focus on you. And Lord, let your anointing flow and touch our lives, in our hearts, in our family, in our friends, and all that need to know that you, Lord Jesus, is their Savior, that you are the answer for everything that's going on in their life and in this world. There is no other answer. There is no other way. That they would come to know their true will and purpose is what the Father wants for us, is through you, Lord Jesus, to humble ourselves and come before you and take heed to his command and obey and believe and trust you, Lord Jesus, and follow you and be a servant for you, Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit, as you showed us in your life, the great eternal example that a man filled with the Spirit can serve the Lord and be changed. Hallelujah, we thank you. We pray now, Lord, you watch over and protect us. Very grateful by the authority of your name and the power of your name and the power of your shed blood and the mighty Holy Spirit who lives in us. Greater is he, you Holy Spirit, who lives in us than he that's in the world, is a fallen one in the principalities and powers of the air, that they are defeated foes in the name of Jesus. And Lord, that we would shine the light of God and shine the truth of your word, and that we lift up the praises, let it ring in their ears, and they would run and want to cover their ears, that they hear the name of Jesus, the glorious Lord Jesus. He is victorious and mighty, and that we worship and praise you, Lord, and thank you for this night. And you are worthy, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise his name, brothers and sisters. Praise his name. Hallelujah. The presence of the Lord is mighty here tonight. And we start out tonight with hallelujah. In Revelation 19, there's a fourfold hallelujah. Fourfold. Fourfold hallelujah. They all mean something that's important. Thank the Lord. Fourfold. Hallelujah. After these things, Revelation 19, after these things, I heard something like a great and mighty shout of vast multitude in heaven explaining, hallelujah, salvation and glory and splendor and majesty and power, dominion and might belong to who? Our God. Anybody else? No. Because his judgments are true and righteous, and they will be. For all that have sinned and fall short of his glory and disobeyed and rejected him, yes, his judgments are true and righteous. He has judged, convicted, and pronounced sentence on the great prostitute, the idolatress, who was corrupting and ruining and poisoning the earth with her adultery and idolatry. Double. Wow. There it is. And he opposed the penalty for the blood of the born servants on her because of all their sin and their rebellion and worshiping false gods, worshiping the fallen one. And the second time they said, hallelujah, her smoke shall ascend forever and ever. That's pretty serious judgment there. Then the 24 elders and the four living creatures also fell down and worship God who sits on the throne, saying, amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Then from the throne there came a voice, praise God, all you what? Bondservants of his. Who are we? The bondservants of the Lord. You who fear him, small, common, and great, distinguished. And then I heard something like a shout of vast multitude again, and like a boom of many pounding waters, and like a roar of many pearls of thunder, saying, here's a fourth hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. For the Lord our God, the Almighty, the Omnipotent, the ruler of all reigns. Let us rejoice. Shout for joy. Let us give him glory and honor. For the marriage supper of the Lamb at last, and his bride, the redeemed, has prepared herself. She has been permitted to dress in fine linen, dazzling white and clean. For the fine linen signifies the righteous acts of the saints, the ethical conduct, personal integrity, the moral courage, and the what? godly character of believers. How do we receive that? In ourselves? No. Who do we think we are if anybody thinks it's anything in their so self-righteous way? It is only in Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we have that kind of character in everything it speaks there. All glory to the Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. And the song is, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All glory to his name. All he's done for us. Hallelujah. Lord, put his head into that tomb, whom he dead, to plant me, Father, did you? They nailed him to a wooden cross, and soon all the world would feel the loss of Christ the King before his hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. He hung his head and prepared to die, then lifted his face up to the sky, said, I'm coming home now, Father, to you. The reed which held his final sip was gently lifted to his lips. He drank his death and gave his soul to glory. Hallelujah! 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 Amen. Hallelujah. The soldier had to use his sword to pierce the body of our Lord. Said, truly, this is Jesus Christ, our Savior. He looked with fear upon his sword and turned his face. His Christ and Lord fell to his knees, crying, no, hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Glory. Yes, Lord.
He put his head in a thorny crown and wrapped him in a linen gown and laid him down to rest inside the tomb. Holes in his hands, his feet inside. Now in our hearts we know he died to save us from ourselves. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Glory. Thank you, Jesus.
3 days he went, then they came to move the stone, the blessed slain with oil and spice and anointing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
As they went to move the stone, they saw they were not alone. But Jesus Christ is risen. Hallelujah.
Reminded me what I heard was that there was a place that the Lord said that in 2 days, and then the third day when he was here, already time has gone by. It is pretty clear that it is set up this like a day is 1,000 years, 1,000 years a day. And the Lord said something about it was 2 days, and then the third day would be his hallelujah. And the Lord, and the gentleman, he's a man of God, a minister, Pastor Larry Olson. He's really good, and he was showing that if in the time that most people think that he died 29 A.D., and that if it's based on the cross, the Lord, the last days, dying on the cross and rising again, that it would be 3,000 years at 2029. Praise God, minus 7. Where does that put us, brothers and sisters? Where does that put us? That put us, the Lord's coming soon. Could it be this year? It's starting to look like it's putting together that the Lord is showing us. So much is opening up. You know, we're connected with the Lord. We will not be caught off guard. Ones that are looking for him, the Holy Spirit revealing, telling us. It's exciting. That we have to be out of here before the tribulation starts. There's not much time left, brothers and sisters. The fig tree generation is running out of time based on what we know, how many years it's been. But the Lord said these things will be fulfilled. It's exciting. But the Lord wanted me to share that. So it must mean something, huh? Yes, that's right, brother. The scripture's being fulfilled and things are moving so quickly. It's just amazing. All right, praise God. All right, sis, you want to come and share these beautiful songs God's put on your heart to share that we celebrate more about what the Lord has done. Amen, sis, he does. Yeah, he's revealing everything that, you know, is clear by the word set up when the tribulation will come. And before the tribulation, we who believe and trust Jesus, we have the blessed hope and promise for all who believe and trust Jesus. That's what's important. Everybody that believe and trust Jesus, the way we're told to from his word and from the Father through the Holy Spirit, that's the one that will be going home.
Ooh.
Amen, sis.
Glory. Hallelujah.
I mean that. The presence of the Holy Spirit has been, you know, on me all afternoon. It's been amazing, and it's flowing here tonight as we worship and celebrate him. The Lord's coming. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. All right, sis, you want to continue this worship and praise to our glorious Lord?
Okay, brother.
All right. Bless you, sis.
Bless you too, brother dear, in Jesus.
Thank you.
Jerusalem in the day. The soldiers tried to clear the narrow street, but the crowd pressed in to see the man condemned to die on Calvary. He was bleeding from the beating. There were stripes upon his back, and he wore a crown of thorns upon his head. And he bore with every death the scorn of those who cried out for his head. And the Via Dolorosa called the way of suffering. Like a lamb came the Messiah Christ the King. But he chose to walk that ground out of his love for you and me. And the Via Dolorosa, all the way to Calvary. Por la Via Dolorosa, tres días en Jerusalén, los soldados le abrían paso a Jesús. Mas la gente se acercaba para ver a que llevaba aquella cruz. Por la Via Dolorosa, que si la Via de Dolor, como vela, ven a Cristo, Rey Señor. Mi fiel cuen que soy por tu amor, por ti, por mí. Por la Via Dolorosa, al Calvario y a morir. The blood of the men, the souls of all men, made its way to the heart of Jerusalem. Down the Via Dolorosa, told the way of suffering. Like a lamb came the Messiah, Christ the King. But he chose to walk the road out of his love for you and me. Down the Via Dolorosa, all the way to Calvary.
His body on
cross, his blood poured out for us, his weight of every curse upon him. Final breath he gave, as heaven looked away, the Son of God was laid in darkness. In battle in the grave, the war on death was waged, the power of hell forever broken. The ground began to shake, the stone was thrown away, his perfect love could not be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? Oh, raise your active king, has rendered you defeated. For you, we sing hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. All of creation, all of the earth, make straight the highway, prepare for the Lord. Jesus is coming soon. Call back the sinner, wake up the saint. Let every nation shout of your fame. Jesus is coming soon. Like a bride waiting for a groom, we'll be a church ready for you. Every heart longing for our King, we sing, even so come, Lord Jesus, come. Even so come, Lord Jesus, come. There will be justice, all will be new, yearning forever, faithful and true. Jesus is coming soon. Oh, like a bride waiting for a groom, we'll be at church ready for you. Every heart longing for our King, we sing, even so come, Lord Jesus, come. Even so come, Lord Jesus, come. So we wait for you. Lord, we wait, you're coming soon. Yes, we wait for you. God, we wait, you're coming soon. Like a bride waiting for a groom, we'll be at church ready for you. Every heart longing for our King, we sing, like a bride waiting for a groom, we'll be at church, we'll be ready for you. Every heart longing for our King, we sing, keep it so come, Lord Jesus, come. Even so come, Lord Jesus, come. Even so come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen. Maranatha. Lord Jesus, come.
Amen, sinner. Amen. Truthfully, everything is lining up. It's just absolutely amazing. It's powerful. In the time we live in, what God's revealing, and his presence is growing so much stronger. And just, you know, it's amazing who the Lord is and what he's doing and what he's going to do. We're just going to be absolutely blown away.
Glory. Yep. You're ready.
Blown away.
You're
and
ready. Anytime. Anytime.
Amen.
You're ready.
Anytime. Yeah. And it has to happen before the tribulation. And that is what God's revealing is lining up very clearly by all the other thing that he said about the Jubilees, about the Shemitah years. And it's absolutely amazing. It's coming together tremendously. Even what he said about a day is 1,000 years a day. And then there'd be,
yeah,
you know, 2,000, and then the third would be his great, you know, victory of already been part of the 6,000 years that's been for man, and it's going to happen. It doesn't matter what people say or what they think it's been. It's God's way, and
yeah,
we're
one. It's God's way.
We're the ones that will be revealed because we're his children.
Amen.
And because
yeah,
we didn't reject him, we believe in him. So he shares his mysteries, his revelation, and his truth. Praise God.
Amen.
All right. Well, bless you, sis. Thank you.
Bless you too, brother.
And we'll see you at the end with another beautiful song. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Bless you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, brothers and sisters. We got to get to it. Very powerful message and a lot to get to. But it's very important what the Lord has put on my heart and pressed upon me to the place that I fell to my knees because of his presence of saying how important this message is, that people need to know of who he is and what he's done to bring salvation and life to each and every one of them, but they've got to make it personal. Jesus Christ to the cross in the empty tomb. Amen. Hallelujah. Shalom, brothers and sisters, in Christ. This is absolute truth. Did you know this is absolute truth? That in Hebrews 2 is what the Word of God says about us who have faith in the Savior Jesus Christ. Let's look. Hebrews 2, 10 through 15. For it was fitting for God, that is, the act worthy of his divine nature, that he, for whose sake are all things and through him all things, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the author and the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. Perfect through what? Suffering, bringing to maturity the human experience necessary for him to be perfectly equipped for his office as high priest, hallelujah, forever. Both Jesus, who sanctifies, and those who are sanctified, that is, spiritually transformed, made holy, set apart for God's purpose, are all from one Father. For this reason, he is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, I declare your the Father's name, my brethren believers, in the midst of the congregation, I will sing praise. Sounds like Jesus. Jesus here saying this. Hallelujah. And again he says, listen to what your Savior says, your King is saying. My trust and confidence was placed in him. And again, here I am, I and the children whom God has given me. Hallelujah. Remember what he said in his prayer to the Father in John 17? He said, all that God has given me, and I won't lose one of them. Oh, hallelujah. That's who the Lord is. That is who the Lord is. How much love does he have? If there's 99 in the fold and there's one missing or lost, he's going after them. Oh, hallelujah. Therefore, since these children share in flesh and blood the physical nature of mankind, he himself, in a similar manner, also shared in the same physical nature, but without sin. Hallelujah for that. So that through experiencing death, he might make powerless, ineffective, impotent, impotent, him who had the power of death, that is, the devil. He disarmed him. He defeated him. He is victorious over the one we cannot stand up against. And that he might free all those, free all those who through the haunting fear of death were held in slavery through their lives. Just like I was saying earlier. Exactly. People are slaves to sin and death. And they are not, can't be free except through Christ. Only him. No other way. You see what God is revealing? It's nothing but Jesus Christ and him alone. Your faith in him and to trust him and believe in him and born again by the Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus, our glorious Savior. And thank you, Holy Spirit, making all this happen, becoming a new eternal creation through our faith in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, and the very life and power and love of God that has set us free from the power and slavery of sin and death forever. Hallelujah! Somebody shout and praise the Lord for what has happened in our lives and what he did for us. Wow! What a way to start off as a Holy Spirit lead. So do you know and see he is the only one, the only truth, God's very life through his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. So I can say, shalom, brothers and sisters, grace, mercy, and love to you as the eternal family of God from our Heavenly Father and our glorious Savior, Jesus Christ, and of course, the mighty Holy Spirit. Amen. So as we praise and honor the Son of God and our personal Savior, Jesus Christ, we will be still and reflect on who he is and all he has done so that we can be saved, set free, and have eternal life, God's life. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Get excited. Understand clearly there is no other person or being. Hallelujah. Not a D there. There is no other person or being or religion that can make this happen. All other ways to God except God's way truly leads to death and destruction in this life, but also the one to come. Amen? The Son of God came to give his love and his life to all who will listen and believe in him. You notice I put in listen, that is where it starts. Be still and listen to see the salvation of the Lord God in your life now. Every other way of this world and our flesh and the one behind it all, Satan, lies and deception. Case in point. Case in point, hallelujah. They have discovered in the so-called jab, there is similarities to venom of a serpent. Well, isn't that interesting? And it does fit. Something from man and his kind of nature is really a lie and deception from the enemy who wants to do what? To you, according to our Savior and King Jesus? To steal, kill, and destroy you. So they say the ones of this world, this snake bite, will protect you and heal you and keep you safe. Lies and more lies. We are all seeing too much evidence as to what really is happening. For the ways of the fallen one, Satan, the ruler of this world, is pushing his agenda of death and not life. Trust and believe in the one who gives life, deliverance, and gives healing, and not man in his ways anymore. We are not of this world or have anything to do of this world's ways of death and not life. Always pray and seek the Lord before you make any decision or any action in these very evil and deceptive times. Amen? So now we know and see clearly the agenda of Satan and hell. But God has made a way for you to be rescued from your sin and the master of sin and death, Satan. Oh, yes, he did, full and complete. And by God's word, we will know and see that this is all true, that you better know and believe in him like many of us here do now. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So we will go to the prophets of old and then see the fulfillment through God's Son, Jesus Christ, to the cross and the empty tomb for each of us. Amen? Isaiah 9, 1 through 7, glory to the Lord in his mighty word, and the reign of the Prince of Peace, the true one who brings peace, not what men are trying to do and say, but what God does. He's the only one who can bring peace eternal. But there will be no more gloom for her who was in anguish, for with judgment comes the promise of salvation. In early times, he treated the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali with contempt. But later on, he will make them honored by the presence of the Messiah. By the way, the sea on the other side of the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. No way in the world they think the Jews think the Messiah would come from Galilee, but God, right? Galilee of the Gentiles? Was that given as a hint that the Lord was coming to save us all? Hallelujah. Verse 2, the people who walk in the spiritual darkness will see a great light. Those who live in the dark land, the light will shine on them. You, O God, will increase the nation. You will multiply their joy. They will rejoice before you, like the joy and jubilation of the harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil of the victory. For you will break the yoke of Israel's burden on their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, as at the battle of Midian. I think it is, yes. Yes. The battle of Midian. For every boot of the marching warrior in the battle of Talmud and every soldier's garment rolled in blood will be used for burning fuel for the fire. For to us a child shall be born, and to us a son shall be given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Praise his name. There shall be no end to the increase of his government in peace. He shall rule on the throne of David over his kingdom to establish it and to hold it with justice and righteousness. For the time forward and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish it. Oh, hallelujah. So the prophet Isaiah prophesied about the Son of God, our Savior, the Messiah of Israel, hundreds or even thousands of years before he came. Amen? Then it was fulfilled. When God speaks, it's going to happen. Let's look, past, present, or future. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Luke 2, 1 through 15. Let me get a drink. Don't need many drinks tonight. You are going to get your belly full of the meat of the Word of God tonight. Hallelujah. Luke 2, 1 through 15. Now in those days, a decree went out from the emperor, Caesar Augustus, that the all-inhabited world, the Roman Empire, should be registered in its census. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to register for the census, each his own city. So Joseph also went up to where? Galilee. From the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of the family of David. Hallelujah. In order to register with Mary, who was betrothed to him and was with child, while they were in Bethlehem, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her son, her firstborn, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no private room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were shepherds staying out in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And the angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord flashed and shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Servant of the Lord, when he comes to you, you want to know if he's from God? That he's going to do this when he senses that you're frightened or scared. Do not be afraid." What did the Lord say to the disciples? "Do not be afraid, it is I." What did he say to John in the book of Revelation? "Do not be afraid, rise up." Oh, hallelujah. "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people, for all the people. For this day in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, the Messiah." Hallelujah. "And," thank you, Jesus, "and this will be the sign to you, for you, by which you recognize him," that you will recognize him. "You will find him, a baby, wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." Then suddenly there appeared in the heaven a multitude of heavenly hosts, angelic army, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among men with whom he is well pleased." Peace among men with whom he's well pleased. When the angels had gone away from them into the heaven, the shepherds began saying one to another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem and see this wonderful thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph, and the baby as laid in the manger. And when they had seen this, they made known what had been told to them about this child. They went and told people the truth. And all who heard it were astounded and wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these things, giving careful thought to them and pondering them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as it had been told them. "He was born to come and to identify with us, his created children." As I read earlier from Hebrews, he had to know and face all that we face as his created people to be able to become, able to become why he was really born, to bear witness of the truth that we were all lost sinners needing a Savior, and he was going to be that perfect Savior. Amen. In the book of John, "He who is and what is the will and purpose of the Father for him," in the book of John, he announces who he is and what is the will and purpose of the Father for him, for us. Let's look. Hang on, brothers and sisters. I got a black line glass. Praise the Lord. Okay. I can see now. Hallelujah. I can see better. Hallelujah. Pretty soon we won't have. I don't think there's any glasses or hearing aids or anything like that in heaven. Won't need them. He'll have a perfect, resurrected, glorified body like Jesus. Hallelujah. John 1, 19 through 33. The testimony of John. This is the testimony of John the Baptist when the Jews sent priests and Levites to him from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" And he confessed truthfully, and did not deny. That is, he was only a man, but he acknowledged, I am not the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed. They asked him, what then? Are you Elijah? And he said, I am not. Are you the promised prophet? And he answered, no. Then they said to him, Who are you? Tell us, so that we may give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? He said, I am the voice of one shouting in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. Oh, praise his name. Thank you for your word, Lord. Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, why then are you baptizing if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? John answered them, I baptize only in water, but among you there stands one whom you do not recognize. You hear this? The one they're supposed to recognize. You do not recognize, and of whom you know nothing. Oh, it's not about religion, brothers and sisters. It's about knowing Christ personally. It is he, the preempted one, who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy untied, even as his slave. These things occurred in Bethany, across the Jordan, at the Jordan River crossing where John was baptized. Isn't that interesting? That's where Lazarus and his sisters lived, Bethany, isn't it? The next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said, look, and this is what the people in the world need to do. As the Holy Spirit reveals the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Your sins and mine, brothers and sisters, and all the sin of all created children, it's available that he did this. You got to make it personal is what God has said. You got to accept it. You got to believe it. You got to trust him. Hallelujah. This is he on behalf of whom I said, after me comes a man who is a higher rank than I and has priority over me, for he existed before me. Hallelujah. I did not recognize him as the Messiah, but I came baptizing in water so that he would be publicly revealed to Israel. John gave further evidence, testifying officially for the record in the veracity and relevance, saying, I have seen sending as a dove out of heaven, and he remained upon him. I did not recognize him as Messiah, but he who sent me to baptize in water said to me, he upon whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this one is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. I myself have actually seen that happen. And my testimony is this, is the Son of God. Oh, hallelujah. He's the Savior. Hallelujah. There is no other. So he was going to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That means every person created, every sin of all of us. Amen. Hallelujah. The sin and sin nature that separated us from our God and Father, that held us in the captivity and slavery of sin and death. He was going to take away our sins, each and every one of us. Praise God. He did. And all people living and breathing, you have to know and believe this for yourself. This is what God has required. This is the most personal choice and decision you'll ever make, because you will have to humble yourself, even die to yourself, to be brought to life God has for you and want for you. Amen. One more point. I will make about a crowd out there, and God have mercy, there are many who are deceived and still lost in their flesh and religion. Look what John says to them and the one like them these days. John 1, 24 through 27. Now they have been sent from the Pharisees, and they asked them, why are you baptizing if you're not the Christ, nor Elijah, or the prophet? What does John say? Hear this clearly and know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. John answered them, I baptize only in water, but among you, there stands one who you do not recognize and in whom you know nothing. John tells all the self-righteous religious crowd that there is among you, there stands one whom you do not recognize and whom you know nothing of him. God have mercy. Still today, he is still here among us by the Holy Spirit, telling people and letting them know Jesus Christ is the only way, truth, and life. All others lead to death and hell. Amen? So now we know that he is the one prophesied by Isaiah. And from John we learn he is the Lamb of God for all of God's created children and their sin and death. Now we will look at and know what he faced and done for us as a sacrificial lamb, and then see from God's word the fulfillment. Oh, hallelujah. If we can get through this. Isaiah 53, 1 through 12. Did you know, brothers and sisters, the number 12 is completion? What did Jesus say? It is finished. The suffering servant. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Who has believed, confidently trusted, and relied on and endeared to our message of salvation? That's what the prophet Isaiah is saying, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Who does he represent? The Lord God. And to whom, if not us, has the arm and infinite power of the Lord been revealed? Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. For he, the servant of God, grew up before him like a tender shoot, a plant, and like a root out of the dry ground. He has no stately form or majestic splendor that he would look at him, that we would look at him, nor handsome appearance that we would be attracted to him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and pain, acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised. And as we did not appreciate his worth or his esteem him, but in fact, he had his griefs put on him, our griefs, and that he carried our sorrows and pain. Yes, eagerly assumed that he was stricken, struck down by God, and degraded and humiliated by him. But he was wounded for our transgression. Thank you, Lord. He was crushed for our wickedness. Thank you, Lord. Our sin and our injustice and our wrongdoing, the punishment required for our well-being fell on him. The wrath and judgment of God. Don't everybody tell you ever face God's wrath and judgment, because Christ took it for you. By his stripes, wounds, we were healed. Healed of the eternal terminal disease of sin. Even greater than physical or emotional disease or anything. You are healed eternally. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Bah! Bah! Turn each one to his own way. You see that in the world all the time. But the Lord has caused the wickedness of us all. That means all. Our sin, our injustice, our wrongdoing, to fall on him instead of us. Hallelujah. Because we couldn't bear it. He could. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he did not open his mouth to complain or defend himself like a lamb that is led to the slaughter. And like sheep that is silent before her shearers. So he did not open his mouth. After oppression and judgment, he was taken away. And as for his generation, his contemporaries, who among them concerned himself with the fact that he was cut off from the land of the living by his death. For the transgression of my people, to whom the stroke of death was due. His grave was assigned with the wicked. But he was with a rich man in his death because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet the Lord was willing. Thank God he was. The Lord was willing to crush him, causing him to suffer, if he would give himself as guilt offering and atonement for sin, he shall see his spiritual offspring. He shall prolong his day. And the will, good pleasure of the Lord shall succeed and prosper in his hand. As a result of the anguish of his soul, he shall see it to be satisfied by his knowledge of what he has accomplished, the righteous one. My servant shall justify the many, making them righteous, upright before God, in right standing with him. Hallelujah. For he shall bear the responsibility of their sin, for their sin. Therefore, I will divide and give him a portion with the great kings and rulers, and he shall divide the spoils with the mighty, because he's willingly poured out his life to death and is counted among the transgressors. Yet he himself bore and took away the sin of many and interceded with the Father for the transgressors, and he still does. He's our advocate, and he shall see the spiritual offspring that you and me, brothers and sisters, that you and me. So here it is prophesied to the prophet Isaiah as he wrote all these words inspired by God, that the Holy Spirit had to know this and see this. Do you see and know all that our Savior, the Son of God, faced and went through? Clearly, Jesus Christ is the one who Isaiah prophesied about. There is no other throughout all of history who fulfilled all the will and purpose of his Father so that we can be forgiven of our sins, and that with his shed blood as a Lamb of God and the suffering servant, willing gave his life and his blood so that we can live forever. Amen. Hallelujah. One more point. Interesting, is it interesting that the number 12 means complete? And there are 12 verses here like it is finished and complete. Amen. Now we move to the fulfillment of what the Son of God, our glorious Savior, did for each of us who believe and trust him. Remember, He did it all for all of God's created children. But only those who believe and trust him will receive all that he has made possible for us all. Amen. John 18, 28 through 33. Jesus before Pilate. Then the Jews led Jesus from Caiaphas to the Praetorium governor palace. Now it was early, and the Jews did not enter the Praetorium so that they would not be ceremonially unclean, but might be able to eat and participate in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which began after the Passover supper. So Pilate came out to them and asked, "What accusation you bring against this man?" And they answered, "If he were not a criminal, we would have not handed him over to you for judgment." Then Pilate said to them, "Take him yourself and judge him according to your own law." The Jews said, "We are not permitted to put anyone to death." They were lying. They were stoning people and everything else all the time. I mean, truthfully, the Jews said, this was to fulfill the word which Jesus had spoken to indicate what manner of death he was going to die. So Pilate went into the Praetorium again, and he called Jesus and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus replied, "Are you saying this on your own initiative, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate answered, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own people and the chief priests have handed you over to me? What have you done that is worthy of death?" Jesus replied, "My kingdom is not of this world, nor does it have an origin in this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would be fighting hard to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this world." So Pilate said to him, "Then are you a king?" Jesus answered, "You say correctly that I am a king. That is why I was born. And for this I have come into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of truth, who is a friend of the truth, and belongs to the truth, hears and listen carefully to my voice." Pilate said to him scornfully, "What is truth?" So Pilate said to him, "Then you are a king. You are a king, Jesus?" Answer, number one, you say correctly that I am a king. Amen. Number two, This is why I was born. Amen. Number three, for this I have come into the world to testify to the truth. Amen. Number four, everyone who is of truth, who is a friend of truth, and belongs to the truth. Amen. And number five, hears and listens carefully to my voice. Amen. God's grace expressed through his Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When the Son of God speaks about all this, all about truth, Pilate asked a question, and all out there could be asking the same question. What is truth? Well, we can answer this from the Word of God. Let's look. John 14, 6. Jesus said to him, "I am the only way to God. I am the real truth and the real life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Like I have told you, the only answer is the Son of God, Jesus Christ, for all of us." Amen. Praise you, Jesus. Now, as Jesus, the Son of God and the Lamb of God, is going to do what he was born to do for all of us, is become the eternal sacrifice and die on the cross. Let's look. John 19, the crown of thorns. So then Pilate took Jesus and had him scourged, flogged, and whipped. And the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and put a purple robe around him. And they kept coming up to him, saying mockingly, "Hail, King of the Jews, good health, peace, long life to you, King of the Jews." And they slapped him in the face. Then Pilate came out again and said to them, "Look, I am bringing him out to you so that you may know that I find no guilt in him, no crime, no cause for accusation." So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said to them, "Look, the man." When the chief priests and officers saw him, they shouted, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourself and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him, no crime, no cause for an accusation." The Jews answered him, "We have the law regarding blaspheming. And according to the law, he should die because he made himself out to be the Son of God." So when Pilate heard this, he was even more alarmed and afraid. He went into the praetorium again and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus did not answer him. So Pilate said to him, "You did not speak to me? Do you not know that I have the authority to release you or have authority to crucify you?" Jesus answered, "You would have no authority over me at all if it had not been given to you from above. For this reason, the sin and guilt of the one who handed me over is greater than your own." As a result of this, Pilate kept making efforts to release him, but the Jews kept screaming, "If you release this man, you are no friend of Caesar." Are they sort of caught up with the world and the world's way? Anyone who makes himself out to be a king opposes Caesar and rebels against the emperor. Who would have these kind of words? Where would they come from? They would come from the accuser. When Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat at a place called the pavement in the Hebrew Gabbatha. Now, it was a day of preparation for the Passover week, and it was about the sixth hour. He said to the Jews, "Look, your king." But they shouted, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" And the chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then he handed them over to be crucified. And then Sister Jeanette sang the song about him going down the Via Dolorosa. So they took Jesus, and they went out, bearing his own cross, to the place called the Place of the Skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription on a clay card and put it on the cross, and it was written, "Jesus, the Nazarene, the King of the Jews." And many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, in Latin, and in Greek. Then the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write, 'The King of the Jews,' but he said, 'I am the king. I am king of the Jews. Pilate replied, what I have written, I have written, and it remains written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his outer clothes and made four parts, a part for each soldier, and also the tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from the top throughout. So they said to one another, let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to decide whose it will be. This was to fulfill the scripture. They divided my outer clothing among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. So the soldiers did these things. It's like God's word said they would happen. Standing by the cross of Jesus was his mother, his mother's sister, Salome, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. So Jesus, seeing his mother and the disciple who loved, esteemed standing near, said to his mother, dear woman, look, here is your son. Then he said to his disciple John, look, here is your mother. Protect and provide for her. From that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing all that was now finished, said in fulfillment of the scripture, I am thirsty. A jar full of sour wine was placed there. So they put a sponge soaked in the sour wine on a branch of hyssop and held it to his mouth. When Jesus received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and voluntarily gave up his spirit. The care of the body of Jesus. Since it was a day of preparation for the Sabbath, in order to prevent the bodies from hanging on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high holy day, the Jews asked Pilate to have their legs broken to hasten death and the bodies taken away. The soldiers came and broke the legs of the first man and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when he came to Jesus, he saw that he was already dead. They did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came flowing out. And he said, and he, John the eyewitness who had seen it, has testified, and his testimony is true. And he knows that he's telling the truth, so that you also who read this may believe. For these things took place to fulfill scripture. Not a bone of his shall be broken. And again, another scripture says, and they shall look at him whom they pierced. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea and the disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate to let him take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave permission. So he came and took away his body. Nicodemus, who had first come to him at night, also came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, weighing about 100 Roman pounds. So they took Jesus' body and bound it in linen wrappings, with the fragrant of spices as in the burial custom of the Jews. Now there was a garden of a place where he was crucified, and in the garden a new tomb cut out of solid rock in which no one had yet been laid. Therefore, because of the Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they led Jesus there, just like Isaiah 53 said. Now as you read this and focus on this and truly know this, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of all of us. All that was spoken from the prophets and King David came to pass perfectly. What God said at the fall of mankind came to pass on that glorious day of his sacrifice and death, when he, the Son of God, as man and God, went to the cruel cross, representing what kind of punishment all of our sin deserved, was put upon his Son and displayed for all to see what the cost was to God to forgive us of our sin and wash it away, that what his Son faced for having all our sin upon his body and shoulders, the wrath of God, the judgment for all our sin upon, from God, was laid upon his Son, the only one who could do it. It's totally impossible for man, was totally possible for God, and he did it. It is finished. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, one more point I want to point out to you. When Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," I do not say that it was only the Roman soldiers or even the evil, prideful Pharisees, but all of us. But all of us, he was asking the Father to forgive us for putting his Son on that cross for our sin. Amen. So from there, it looked like to all of his disciples, that was it. Their memory seemed far away from them, what Christ said would come to pass. 1 John 5, verse 1, everyone who believes with a deep abiding trust in the fact that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed, is born of God, that is reborn from another spirit to transform, renewed, and set apart for his purpose. And every who loves the Father also loves the child born of him. I'll let y'all read this other one because if for time sake, I need to keep moving in this one. But a beautiful word of the Lord leads, read it, what the Lord says and shares with you. Matthew 16, verses 21 through 23. But the Lord told him before this happened. Jesus foretells his death. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples clearly that he must go to Jerusalem and endure many things at the hands of the elders and the chief priests and scribes, Sanhedrin, Jewish high court, and be killed and be raised from the dead on the third day. Peter took him aside to speak to him privately. Now get this. Could you ever imagine doing this? And began to reprimand him. The Messiah? The Son of God? Saying, "May God forbid it. This will never happen to you." But Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Peter." No. "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." So Jesus tells the disciples about that he was going to be betrayed, handed over to the Sanhedrin, and be killed and raised from the dead to life on the third day. But what did Peter do? Peter took him aside, Jesus Christ, to speak to him and reprimand him? The Messiah? May God forbid? This will never happen. But Jesus knew where this was coming from. He knew where it was coming from. He said, "Get behind me, Satan." Not "get behind me, Peter," but Satan. Because he knew where these thoughts were coming from that Peter spoke. He was very good. He was very good wisdom and direction for all of us. You are a stumbling block to me when you are a stumbling block for – I mean, when are you a stumbling block for Christ? He tells us clearly. For you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of men. Let us all take heed. Amen? Brothers and sisters, did you know this was in the same place that earlier that Peter said this? Let's look. Matthew 16:13-18. Peter's confession of Christ. Now, when Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they answered, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or just one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed, the Son of the living God. Then Jesus answered him, blessed, happy, spiritually secure, favored by God, are you Simon, son of Jonah? Because flesh and blood, mortal men did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Oh, hallelujah. And I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And what? And the gate of Hades, death, will not overpower it by preventing the resurrection of Christ. Man, I saw that and it is so powerful. The preventing of the resurrection of Christ. Because that had to happen. So you tell me how much we need and depend on our Savior, Jesus Christ, by the life and power of God, the Holy Spirit. I would say totally. As we see and know that that the cross and Christ's death was not the end, but as the last part of verse 18 here says, I build my church, and the gates of hell will not overpower it by preventing the resurrection of Christ. And praise God, it did not, could not. Let's look. John 20:1-22. The empty tomb. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark. And they saw the tomb already, they saw the stone already removed from the groove across the entrance of the tomb. Now, that's moving it. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, John, who Jesus loved esteemed. And he said to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, but we do not know where they have laid him. So Peter and the other disciple left, and they were going to the tomb, and they were two running together. But the other disciple outran Peter and arrived at the tomb first. Stooping down, looking in, he saw the linen wrappings neatly laying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came up and following him, went into the tomb and saw the linen wrappings neatly laying there. And the burial face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with other linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. So the other disciple who had reached the tomb first went in too. And he saw the wrappings and the face cloth. And what did John do? That he speaks in the book of John 90 times and believe without any doubt that Jesus had risen from the dead, from his heart. Just like when Peter said who he was. It was in his heart from the Father. For as they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead, then the disciples went back again to their own home. But Mary, who had returned, was standing outside the tomb, sobbing. And so as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting there, one at the hand and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you crying? You see, they always comfort you. They bring peace when the servants of the messengers of the Lord come." She said, she told them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they have laid him." After saying this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you crying? For whom are you looking?" Supposing that he was the gardener, she replied, "Sir, if you are the one who has carried him away from here, tell me where you have put him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary," when he calls your name, "Mary," she turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold me, or I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Hallelujah! Mary Magdalene came reporting to the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had said these things to her. Jesus among his disciples. So when the evening on the same day, the first day of the week, though the disciples were meeting behind barred doors for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. When the disciples saw the Lord, they were filled with great joy. Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you as my representative." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Hallelujah. Confirming. Remember, after the resurrection, then they could be born again. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God in the highest. Victory in Jesus over death and hell and the grave forever. Yes and amen. Now I want to share one of the most important and encouraging portions of the scripture for us now. All who believe. Amen. Let's look. John 20, 24 through 29. Oh, this is a beautiful scripture for us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But Thomas, one of the 12 disciples, who was called Didymus, the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples kept telling him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see his hand and the marks of his nails and put my finger into the nail print and put my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were again inside the house, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, though the doors had been barred. Oh, doors and windows and walls don't stop the Lord anymore. I mean, you know, and who he is as resurrected and glorified. And he stood among them and said, "Peace to you." And then he said to Thomas, he goes right to the heart of the matter in our lives. "Reach here with your finger and see my hand, and put your hand and place it in my side. Do not be unbelieving, doubting, and believe. Thomas answered him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Because you have seen me, do you now believe? Blessed, happy, spiritually secure, and favored by God are they who do not see me and yet believe in me. Brothers and sisters, that is you and me, all who believe and trust Jesus now. The last part of this wonderful verse says it all for us now. Amen. Then finally, John, at the end of this chapter, says, sums it all up. Let's look. John 20, 30 through 31. There are also many other signs attesting miracles that Jesus performed in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written so that you may believe with a deep abiding trust. You've got to be real with God. The Son of God, and that by believing, trusting in, and relying on him, you may have life in his name. Praise his name forever. That by whosoever believeth, believing, trusting in, relying on him, you will have life in his name. No other name in heaven or in this world, but you must be saved by Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, and our personal glorious Savior. Amen. Hallelujah. So now, by the word of God through the prophets and God's word telling us what would come to pass, did through his Son, Jesus Christ, to the cross and the empty tomb. He has finished and completed everything for us, his created children, to be forgiven, to be saved, set free from our sins and sin nature, to be set free from this world system and the ruler of this world, Satan. To have your sin and sin nature washed away by his blood, Jesus Christ. That he was raised up on the third day to be victorious over the gates of hell and the grave and death too. Hallelujah. He did this all for us. What he asked of us is to freely welcome and accept his love through his Son. Sacrifice and victory at the cross and the empty tomb. Amen? Now we move on to what does this matter to me personally? Well, what God requires of you because of your free will he gave you is come to your godly sense, believe, trust, and embrace his Son, Jesus Christ, to make this happen in your life personally, for salvation, eternal life, all that is required. I ask you all listening tonight in the archive, as we are in these times and seasons of remembering and thanking our God and Savior Jesus Christ for who he is and all he has done so we can be a true son or daughter of God. Are you a whosoever? I pray you are. Now, what does all this that the Son of God means to us personally? 1 Corinthians 15, Paul tells us clearly. This sums up a lot of what God revealed, the mysteries he revealed, and the revelation he gave to Paul. The facts of Christ's resurrection. Because it truly matters. Because without the resurrection, we all be in a mess, a hell of a mess. Now, brothers and sisters, let me remind you once again of the good news of salvation, which I preach to you, what you welcome and accept it, and what you stand by faith, the only way you can. By this faith of faith in Jesus, to know that faith alone in him, and then this happens. By this faith, you are saved. Reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, and set apart. You're a new creation. You're not your old self, the old lost, sinful person anymore. You're a new creation in Christ, redeemed, ransomed, reconciled, justified, made righteous, holy, and perfect in the eyes of God through his son, faith in him. And this old body you see, remember, we're supposed to live by faith and not sight. This old body you see, he's going to take care of this too by his wonderful power and glory and his presence that's in us that will raise us up on the day of redemption, resurrected and glorified like our Savior before. If you hold firmly to the word which I preach to you, unless you believe in vain, just superficially and without complete commitment, got to be real with God. Got to be real with God. For I passed on you the first importance, but also received that Christ died for our sins, according to what your scripture foretold, and we have seen it clearly. We saw it prophesied in the prophet Isaiah, and the Son of God fulfilling it. And that he was buried and that his body raised the third day, according to what your scripture foretold, praise God that he did, that he took care of the consequences of our sin for all eternity. He overcame death, hell, and the grave forever. He even took the keys of death and hell. God, our Savior, our King, is in total control. And that he appeared to Cephas, Peter, and to the 12. And after that, he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, the majority of whom are still alive in the time when Paul wrote this. But some have fallen what? Asleep. Because, see, God is greater than what we call death. There's no finality for us. God just sees them asleep, and he wake them up. Then he was seen by James, then by all the apostles, and last of all, as to one untimely, prematurely, dramatically born, he appeared to me also. This is Paul, or he was Saul at that time, but he became Paul. For I am the least worthy of all apostles, and not fit to be called an apostle, because at one time fiercely opposed and violently persecuted the church of God. But by the remarkable grace of God, I am what I am. Did he say anything about himself? No. By the grace of God, we are who we are. His grace toward me was not without effect. In fact, I worked harder than all the apostles, though it was not I, but the grace of God. His unmerited favor and blessing was with me, and he's with us too. It's with us too. So whether it was or I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed and trusted in and relied on with confidence. Now, if Christ is preached, raised from the dead, how is it that some among you say there is no resurrection from the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is vain, useless, amounting to nothing. And if your faith is also vain, imaginary, unfounded, devoid of value and benefit, not based on truth, we are even discovered to be false witnesses, misrepresenting God, because we testified concerning him that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise. If, in fact, the dead are not raised, for if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ is not raised, your faith is worthless and powerless, mere delusion. You're still in your sin and under the control and penalty of sin. Then those also have been fallen asleep in Christ or lost. If we are abiding in Christ, have hope only in this life, and this is all there is, then we are people most miserable and be pitied. And it's true for that. That's true. But now, as things really are, Christ has in fact been raised from the dead, and he became the first fruits, that is, the first to be resurrected with incorruptible, immortal body, foreshadowing the resurrection of those who have fallen asleep in death. For since it was by man that death came into the world, it also by man that the resurrection of the dead has come. For just as Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. Nobody else, no other way. Jesus Christ is the answer, the way, the truth, and life. He's telling us very clear here. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then those who are in Christ's own will be resurrected with incorruptible, immortal bodies at his coming. After that, after that comes the end completion, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has made inoperative and abolished every ruler, every authority and power. Hallelujah. Physical and spiritual. Praise God. For Christ must reign as king until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be abolished and put to the end is death. Hallelujah. For he, the Father, has put all things in subjection under his feet, Christ. But when he says all things have been put in subjection under Christ, it is clear that he, the Father, put all things in subjection to him, Christ, is accepted, that the Father is not in subjection to his own Son. However, when all things are subject to him, Christ, then the Son himself will be also subjugated to the one, the Father, who put all things under him, so that God may all in all manifest his glory without any opposition, the supreme indwelling and controlling factor of life. Otherwise, what will those do who are being baptized for the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, why are people even being baptized for them? For the matter, why are they running such risks and putting ourselves in danger nearly every hour if there's no resurrection? I assure you, believers, by the pride which I have in you, in your union with him, Christ, Jesus our Lord, I die daily. I face death and death to self. What God has it done me, if merely for human point of view? No. Fought with wild animals at Ephesus? If the dead are not raised at all, let us eat and drink and join ourselves now, for tomorrow we die. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Be sober-minded. Be sensible. Wake up from your spiritual stupor as you ought and stop sinning. For some of you have no knowledge of God. You are disgraceful, ignorant of him, and ignore his truth. I say this to your shame. But someone will say, how are the dead raised? And what kind of body will they come? Their body will come. You fool. Every time you plant seed, you sow something that is, does not come to life, germinating, springing up, and growing, unless it first what? Dies. The seed you sow is not the body, the plant, which is going to become, but is a bare seed, perhaps of wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body, just as he planned, and to each kind of seed a body of its own, given. All flesh is not the same. There is one kind for humans, another for animals, another for birds, another for fish. There are also heavenly bodies, sun, moon, and stars, earthly bodies, humans, animals, and plants. But the glory and the beauty of the heavenly is one kind, and the glory of the earthly is another. There is a glory and yet beauty of the sun, another glory of the moon, and yet another distinctive glory of stars, and one star differs from the other in glory and brilliance. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. The human body that is sown is perishable, and the mortal is raised imperishable and immortal. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in strength. It is sown a natural body, mortal, suited to earth. It is raised a spiritual body, immortal, suited to heaven. As surely as there is a physical body, there is also a spiritual body. Hallelujah. So it is written in Scripture, the first Adam became a living soul, an individual. The last Adam, Christ, became a life-giving spirit, restoring the dead to life. Hallelujah. However, the immortal life is not first, but the physical. Mortal life, then the spiritual. The first man, Adam, is from earth, earthly, made of dust. The second man, Christ, the Lord, is from heaven. As in the earthly man, the man of dust, so are those who are on earth, of earth. And as the heavenly man, so are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne this image of earthly, the man of dust, we will also bear the image of the heavenly, the man of heaven. What? Being the real image of God? Through Christ. Hallelujah. The mystery of the resurrection. Hallelujah. He said all that to lead to this. Understand, you must have faith alone in Christ and born again by the Spirit become a new creation. Let's say it that way. Now I say this, believers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit nor be part of the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable mortal inherit the imperishable immortal. Listen very carefully, and I tell you a mystery, a secret truth decreed by God, and previously hidden, but now revealed. Revealed to who? You and me, the family of God, the servants of the Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit. We will not all sleep in death, but we will all be completely changed, wonderfully transformed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the sound of the last trumpet call, for the trumpet will sound. Could it be like the last trumpet call of the time of grace of the church age? For the trumpet will sound, and the dead who believed in Christ will be raised imperishable. And we will be completely changed, wondrously transformed. Hallelujah. For this perishable part of us must put on imperishable nature. And this mortal part of us, capable of dying, must put on immortality. And I saw, and the pastor was showing clearly what this was talking about, the first part of perishable being changed into imperishable are the ones who pass. And then when it goes on and talks about this mortal part of us, capable of dying, must put immortality, which is from freedom and death, is the ones who are alive. So it covers it all. And when this perishable puts on imperishable, and this mortal that you're alive puts on immortality. Oh, hallelujah. God's word coming to being proven. Then the scripture will be fulfilled that says, oh, glory to God, death is swallowed up in victory, vanquished forever. Oh, death, where's your victory? Oh, death, where's your sting? The sting of death is what? sin. And the power of sin by which brings death is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory as conquerors through our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, it's all about Christ. Man, why has everybody got off the road? And they've been listening to men and doctrine of demons and everything else for years, thinking it's something about us. What we've been called to is welcome and accepted, to believe. And when you have faith and believe in Jesus alone, then here comes the Holy Spirit that's going to change you, and you'll really believe. Hallelujah. So praise God. It had to be all that Christ did for us at the cross and the empty tomb, or it would not be complete. And we would all be miserable and doomed. But praise be to God, he covered it all. He did it all so that we can now live, be alive in Christ, to believe in him, trust, and embrace him personally, to be born again and given salvation and life. Amen. But something else is special for all who believe and trust Jesus is coming very soon. It is all that we just read and many of us know. This time and event is for all who trust in Jesus and born again, because that is the only one who will go when he comes for his church and bride. This day is called the Day of Redemption. Let's look. Ephesians 4, verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, but seek to please him, by whom you were what? Sealed. And marked, branded as God's own, for the day of redemption. Oh, hallelujah, this glorious day. The final deliverance from the consequences of sin. Praise God, what would be what? A glorious day we are looking forward to very soon, amen? A day and promise to all who believe in Jesus Christ and all that he did for us too. Oh, yes, all that you're longing for and looking for him to take us home soon. Let's look. Glory to God. Titus 2, 11 through 14. For the remarkable undeserved grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to who? All men or all people. What does it teach us? It teaches us to reject ungodliness and worldly, immoral desires and live sensible, upright, and godly lives with purpose that reflects spiritual maturity in this present age, awaiting and confidently expecting the fulfillment of our blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who willingly gave himself to be crucified on our behalf to redeem us and purchase our freedom from all wickedness and to purify for himself a chosen and very special people to be his own possession, who are enthusiastic for doing what is good. To purify for himself a chosen and very special people, you who believe and trust him, Jesus Christ, as the Father has commanded us, for there is no other way for salvation, eternal life, and be part of this glorious appearing of our King and Savior, Jesus Christ, to take us home. Amen. Hallelujah. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. So now we know that God keeps his words and promises because of his righteousness, his holiness, and most of all, because of his love. He expressed throughout all his word, from the prophets and King David of old, the fulfillment of his everlasting love, mercy, and grace in the person of his son, Jesus Christ. We have learned and can answer the question that all people truly want to know. What is truth? Jesus Christ is truth. He is the only truth and life. By all he did as born as a man, grew up as a man, was going to be the Lamb of God to take away all our sins that not one of us could do anything about. But praise God, he did at the cross. He is truly living Savior, because from the cross, taking care of our sin and breaking the power of sin and defeating the fallen one, taking the guilt and the shame for our sin and the judgment and wrath for our sin on his shoulders and body. Then with his sinless life and blood, his blood he forgave us and washed all this away, saved and set free. Hallelujah. Praise God. He didn't stop there, but he went to the tomb, and 3 days later, as the word of God said, came to pass. He was raised up from the dead. Burst forth from that tomb, was alive and victorious over death, hell, and the grave himself for us. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. So I finished this with the eternal truth you need to know and believe with these two portions of Scripture. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians 15:58. By all that Paul shared with us in 1 Corinthians, this is what it should do and motivate you in your life. By what you know and that others need to know. Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord, always doing your best, doing more than is needed. Be continually aware that your labor, even to the point of exhaustion, in the Lord is not futile nor wasted. It is never without purpose. This is what we have all been called to for such a time as this, so others can hear and know this truth. The good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and whosoever's personal Savior to lead to life he wants for all, eternal life. Amen. Revelation 1:5-6. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful and trustworthy witness, the firstborn of the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who always loved us and who has once for all freed us or washed us from our sins by his own blood, his sacrificial death, and formed us into a kingdom of his subjects, priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and the power and majesty and dominion forever and ever. Amen. He has risen. He is alive. A living Savior. Do you know him personally for salvation and eternal life? I pray all listening tonight and in the archives do, because it is truly a matter of eternal life or death, period. Amen. Jesus Christ, to the cross, to the empty tomb. It is finished. Amen. Forever. As we look for the glorious day, when the finality of what God has done will come to pass and fulfilled. What a glorious day that will be. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Worship and honor him. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Black as be, Jesus came forth, born of a virgin, dwelt among men. My example is he. Word became flesh, and light shined among us. His glory remains. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sin far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming. Oh, glorious day. Oh, glorious day. Hallelujah. Praise his name forever. Glory. One day they led him up Calvary's mountain. One day they nailed him to a die on a tree. Suffering, angry, despising, rejected, bearing our sin, my Redeemer is he. Hands that heal nations, shroud on a tree. He took the nails for me, living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sin far away, rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day. Hallelujah! Glory! Hallelujah! One day the grave could not conceal him no longer. One day the stone rolled away from the door. Then he arose over death he had conquered. Now ascended my Lord forevermore. Death could not hold him. The grave could not keep him from rising again. Then he loved me. Dying he saved me. Buried he carried my sin far away. Rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day, glorious day. Hallelujah! One day the trumpet will sound for his coming. One day the skies of his glory will shine. Wonderful day, beloved one bringing. My Savior Jesus is mine. Thank you, Lord. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sin far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day, glorious day, oh glorious day. Amen. Brothers and sisters, this song means a lot to me and Sis Brenda. It took us through some real tough trials and brought us back to the Lord. As when our mothers passed in the same year, we knew life and death was real, and that we as believers need to understand the days we were living. And the Lord gave this song to us to comfort us and strengthen us, as he did to my mother in her time. And very special. And then this last part of knowing that Jesus is my Savior, it says it clearly in the gospel. Living, he loved us. Dying, he saved us. Buried, he carried our sins far away. That we are to, our sins are buried. We are crucified with Christ. Yet we live, not ourselves, not the old dead self, but Christ in us. And then when he rises, he justified freely the consequences of our sin. He conquered death, hell, and the grave for us. And then his promise. For all believe and trust him and born again by the Spirit of the days we live. One day he's coming. Our glorious, a glorious day. Oh, glorious day. Glorious day. The day of redemption. The resurrection rapture for all believe and trust Jesus. All that are looking for his glorious coming. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What a night. What a powerful word. I pray people hear the truth. You know that Christ is the only way, the truth, and life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let us look at these prayer requests. And if y'all have any updates or anything, and ones I put on here. Pray for Israel. The terror in Tel Aviv, and even more now, for those wounded to be healed, for those of the families that some that were healed will come to know Yeshua HaMashiach. Pray for Chris, Pam's son, against the spirit of cancer. I hadn't heard no update on that. We pray for Janet's sister for skin. Skin situation to be healed. Any update on that, sis? Pray for Sergio and about his tires and windows be broken. And I pray that he's been, Lord's watch over him, and this is drawing him to you, Lord Jesus. Pray for Jessica and Kelsey and Veronica for blessing and favor and seeking the Lord and looking for a new direction in their life and what God wants them to do. And Veronica needs to come to Christ. Pray for the family coming together. Pray for my family coming together. Peace and reconciliation. There's a lot of friction or animosity and things between family right now. And some new people are coming in. They're coming to our house for the first time. And Lord, and what we've heard is not good. But we've got to give them the benefit of doubt. And that they need Jesus. Okay. All right, sis. We just pray the Lord will heal her. We have from Sis Brenda's sister, pray for Pam's church friend, Janice, for healing. That's all she told us, that we asked for prayer for that. Any other, have anybody have any of her requests before we go to the Lord in prayer? Man, praise God what the Lord is doing. So much going on. Praise the Lord. Any other prayer requests? Amen, sis. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we just pray that people come to Christ. That's the most important. Okay. We'll pray for your job or what God wants you to do, brother. That you provide for him, Lord. Hallelujah. All right, we will. Thank you, Jesus. Any other prayer requests? I know I've heard about some of the stuff that your prime minister says, the same kind of words the Nazis were saying. But remember, brother, we are not of this world. The Lord is greater, and that he watches over us and protects us, and he'll take us home. Whatever he has to do to watch over and protect us, he will. He'll make a way. And I know that the kind of stuff that y'all face and what we hear and we pray, continue to pray. And for others like in Australia and other countries that, I mean, you think about it, they have perfected the way of like what they did to the Jews in Germany. I mean, they passed this thing and promoted by fear. And they're now saying that most of the people that have taken the snake bite will die in 2 to 3 years. It sure sort of fits what's going to happen during the seal judgment. God of mercy. People have not believed and trusted in the Lord Jesus. They shall die because of lack of knowledge. I pray it's not this. I pray it's only physical. I pray it's not spiritual. I pray they know Christ if it's in that place. But I believe he can heal too and protect us. I know he's protected us from many things the enemy is trying to bring against us. But God is greater. And he's given us wisdom and discernment. And we have surely seen and know that anything of this world is pretty well not good for us, or anything is influenced by the fallen one. Whichever way, whatever it is, anything from religion to government or whatever, if it is not of God and not of Christ, it's not pointing to Jesus, stay away. Be wise. Trust the Lord over anything, of the world, of the government, or anything. To live as Christ and to die as gain. The Lord gives us the faith and boldness to stand for truth and not bow down to the things of this world and the fallen one, but stand for Jesus. Because some of the things you hear and know what so-called churches are doing, God have mercy. They're doing like the same things that they were doing and what they, you know, crucified Christ. Oh, we have no king but Caesar. God have mercy. That's sad, but that's deception and lies of the devil. Anyway, praise God. So we clearly know the agenda of this world is of the agenda of the fallen one, the ruler of this world. But we are not of this world. We have the life and the power and the character of Almighty God. Praise his name. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer so we give time for Sis to sing her song at the end here. Father, we come humbly before you. We thank you for your truth. Get this out of the way here. Fix this. All right, not now. Okay. Just a second, brothers and sisters. I got this thing that protects me more about my location or whatever. All right, there we go. Father, we thank you and praise you. We honor and praise you for your word and the truth, and that we clearly know it's all about you, Lord Jesus, that you are the Son of God, and that you're our Savior and our King, that you love us so much, that you would die for us and rise again for us, that you went before us, and you had to be the one, and you did not fail your Father, and you did not fail us. You have made a way where there was no possible way for any of us, but only you, Lord. And Father, that you have made a way and given us life and salvation for the life and blood and the sacrifice of your Son, hallelujah. And that by his rising from the dead that we will be able to rise when you call our names like you called Mary. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name as that day approaches. And we look to you and say, glory to God in the highest. Lord God, the other thing you promised, that you would hear our prayers and hear our hearts. You would hear our supplications and interceding for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Father God, we pray for each one here. Lord God, we pray for the nation of Israel and the things they're going through. And Lord, they would call out to you, that many would call out to you, Lord Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, that you are the Messiah, that they would open up the so-called forbidden chapter in Isaiah and see that it is only you, Lord Jesus, and that you are the true Messiah, and they need to know you personally. We thank you for the ministries that are there, and they are Messianic Jews that trust in Jesus, sharing the truth to Arabs and Jews, and understand that you are the only answer, the way, the truth, and life. Lord God, we pray for Chris, Pam's son, in the name of Jesus, we pray against cancer. We pray against the spirit of cancer in the name of Jesus. We pray for healing by the mighty Holy Spirit and your healing hands, Lord Jesus, upon him. And let it be a testimony and show how powerful you are and how much love you have for them and his family. And they will see that it is by you, Lord, and that you are the healer. Lord God, we pray for Sister Nett. And for her sister, Jane, Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would heal her. And Lord, take this skin growth away, and that she be a testimony to you, Lord, before she even gets to the dermatologist. Look, God, we pray for Sergio that you would watch over and protect them and bless Sis Connie and watch over them and their household and keep them safe for the enemy and the fallen one and the ones that are controlled and influenced by him in the name of Jesus and by the power of your name and the blood, your shed blood, Lord. Lord God, we pray for Jessica and Kelsey and Veronica and Lord, that's in their place and where they're at with you, that you will bless them. Lord, that you would give them wisdom and anointing and know they need you. Veronica does. I'm not sure about Kelsey. I know Jessica knows you, Lord. I pray you lift them up and watch over them, each of them, Lord, your daughters. And Father, I pray that especially Veronica would come to know you personally, Lord, and know that you are the only way, the truth, and life. We pray for a family gathering. We pray for your peace and reconciliation, the spirit of be here. We pray for your anointing and give us guidance. I pray we show the love of Jesus tomorrow, Lord, by you as you pour down into us. I pray for Pam's friend, Janice, for healing in the name of Jesus. And Lord God, we pray for Andrew and his job. We pray that, Lord, you intervene and whatever has to happen, that you make a way and that you are his provider. And Father, that you can help Andrew, whatever he's facing, him and his family, and that you're greater. And we leave it in your hands, and we give all the glory and praise to you. We thank you again for this night and your powerful presence and the mighty Holy Spirit and your mighty word of truth and life, all pointing to you, Lord. For you are only the answer, the way, the truth, and life, as you have said. And that has been revealed to us from the Father by the Holy Spirit, just like Peter to Apostle Paul, even for us, and for such a time as this. We're grateful and thankful and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, we're going to come and let Sis Jeanette come and finish with this beautiful song, Oh, the Blood. What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. All right, sis. Bless you. Bless each one of you. Hallelujah. Oh, hello there, Sis Relias. I didn't see you come in there. Bless you, sister. Thank you. Thank God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen, sis.
Amen. The blood.
All right, this wonderful, powerful
awesome
night. Amen.
Amen.
Glory,
yes, brother.
Amen.
Amen.
Shameful sin lays on.
Amen, sis. Praise God. Thank you for his blood. Thank you for his life and victory over sin, death, and death. Amen. He's a risen and alive Savior. That's what's important. That's right.
Amen.
Bless you, sis. I pray you have a great weekend. Who knows? Could the Lord come?
Amen.
Resurrection Sunday, that'd be awesome. Praise God.
Amen, brother.
That's the truth. Bless you, sister. Bless you and your family.
Bless you, too.
Thank God for you and send our love prayers your way. And you have a great
thank
evening.
Thank God for you as well, brother.
Okay.
And we love you. We love
we
you.
We love you, too.
And dear Brenda and brother, sisters. In that
amen.
Chapter. Good night. Shalom amen. All. Amen. Bye-bye.
All right. Bless you, sis. Thank you.
Bless you.
Praise
you,
God.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise God, brother, sister, sis Connie, sister Elias, brother Will, brother Andrew earlier. Thank God for each one of you.
We send our prayers and love your way. And this is exciting times. Keep watching, keep praying, keep looking, because it's amazing what's going on. And it's pointing to our Savior's coming. It's a something moving in the Spirit. And how powerful his presence is and becoming more and more prevalent, because he's coming for us. It's almost homecoming, brothers and sisters. Hang in there. You can, because you don't do it alone. The Lord is with us by his mighty Spirit. And we can face whatever we face, because the Lord has faced it all before we ever face it ourselves. And he loves us so much. Bless each one. Y'all have a great night. We thank God for each one of you. And say shalom and goodbye and hallelujah. Resurrection Sunday's on the way. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.